This Frontenas podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a show about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and the changing demographics of the Southwest. One man or one woman shows often reveal the inner workings of the artist. That's the case with A Sign from the Taco Gods, which played for 8 weeks this winter at San Antonio's Overtime Theater. Solo theater artist Jade Esteban Estrada is a playwright, director, choreographer, and is the glitter political columnist with San Antonio Current. He also performs stand-up as the Prada Enchilada.
Illegal immigration, too, is a big issue for Texas. You know, there are some lawmakers that feel there should be an isolated area to keep all the Mexicans. I'm like, well, we already have that. It's called Garland, Texas. Yeah! Check that off the list. We're good. We're good.
In Estrada's second show, the autobiographical A Sign from the Taco Gods, he focuses on unresolved relationships, primarily with his mother. A native of San Antonio, Estrada says the city culturally informs his work.
I would say that what has informed me about myself and about my artistry has been how other people describe me. And not just in the press. There's a guy who comes to mind who was a stagehand during the national touring production of Tom Thumb. I played Tom Thumb. And just because I was Latino, he used to call me Paco. And I wasn't like offended by that. I'm sure some people would be like, you should be offended in this day and age. But I remember thinking, I'm just Mexican to you. It doesn't matter what kind of Mexican, I'm just Mexican to you. And so when I realized that no matter what I did, you know, I could, for instance, try to be super gay, but people would always be like, oh, you're so funny. You're such a gay, the funniest gay Mexican I ever saw. And I'm like, there's nothing I said that was Mexican, but that's how people were taking it. And so I've always described San Antonio the way I would describe Montreal, or you go to Montreal and you cannot speak English and just be fine. You know, when I speak to international people, I'm like, San Antonio is very much the same way. And I hope it's always like that, that it's so bicultural. It's just interwoven into everything we do. Even no matter where you come from ethnically here, you hear white people speaking in Spanish sometimes. I think that's a beautiful thing because it's what San Antonio is. It's what it has been. It tries to preserve that. And I think that's beautiful. I mean, even this show is reflective of that idea. And so whenever I go to different places around the world, everything I do has that little bit of, I can't do anything, I can't say anything without having a label that I'm proud of being a Latino or Mexican or Tex-Mex, depending on how you want to view me.
So let's talk a little bit about the show, A Sign from the Taco Gods. It's autobiographical.
Yes.
How does that compare with the other 22 shows that you've written?
That's a great question. I love history. I'm a writer. So many of my shows have had a historical bent, to use your word. I have a show called Icons, The Lesbian and Gay History of the World, Volume 1. There's a Volume 2, 3, up until 5. And probably one of my successful shows is Icons 1, where I play Sappho, Michelangelo, Oscar Wilde, Gertrude Stein, Sylvia Rivera, and Ellen DeGeneres. And my love for history and, at the time, LGBTQ activism, we didn't have the Q back in the day, was very, like, I had a very strong passion for bringing that onto the stage and informing people about the through line of the contributions that LGBTQ people have done throughout history. Alan Turing, Greg Louganis, all of these stories, when I put them into my art form, which is singing, dancing, acting with comedy, it kind of like is a digestible way of giving that to the audience in a fun way. Because not everybody wants to read a book or even read a paragraph of a wiki page. but they'll stick around for a joke, you know? And I remember my sister once telling me, she's also a playwright, when I first read my first scene as Sappho, there was a lot of historical stuff. She was covering like thousands of years in just her section. I said, what did you think? She's like, it's great. It's informative. She goes, but you need more jokes. And thank goodness that's what I do. I said, no problem. I can do that. And back when I did those kinds of shows, it was almost like a way of tricking people into teaching them something. It sounds terrible, but like, I want to teach you something and I'm going to keep you laughing so that when you go back home, you're like, oh, in between, I learned something about Oscar Wilde.
So it's almost like Drunk History.
Drunk History is a wonderful show. When I watched that, I said, yes, trick them. Trick them. It's beautiful. And, you know, if I had another life, I would have been a history professor. I think I would have been just as happy doing that anywhere, because how can we know where we're going if we don't know where we've been?
So what made you draw your attention inward then, from outside history into your shows to bringing the focus around to yourself?
My mortality, I suppose. I'm not getting any younger. And I know that I have had experiences that, you know, over a couple of drinks, I'd tell people, like, let me tell you the time, you know, this or this happened. And I share the lesson that I gathered from that experience in Australia or Germany or when I was a Latin pop singer. There's just so many stories. And my friend Ginger Valentine once said, the best artists are also the best editors. We have all of these stories. I was just telling another reporter actually the other day, especially now that I'm older, something that Edgar Allan Poe once said, and I paraphrase, if I could just grab one of the thousands of brilliant ideas that I have swimming around in my head, if I could just bring that one idea to fruition, I would be happy and fulfilled. And I think every artist can groove with that idea, because we're nothing but ideas. But to bring it into one succinct product that is, again, digestible for an audience, a general audience, and maybe it'll be a niche one, depending on what people like these days. But telling stories is what we do, and we have to do it in a small, tight, fast way sometimes. And in my case, it has to be kind of funny, because that's kind of what I do.
We're talking with solo theater artist Jade Esteban Estrada. His most recent show, his 22nd, is the one-man autobiographical work, A Sign from the Taco Gods. When we come back.
And when something happens, some people call it kismet, some people call it synchronicity. I call it the Taco Gods, a sign from the Taco Gods.
More with Jade Esteban Estrada, coming up on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Actor, director, playwright, and comedian Jade Esteban Estrada's latest one-man show is called A Sign from the Taco Gods. It ran for 8 weeks at San Antonio's Overtime Theater. Estrada says this show was a first for him, as it forced him to attempt to resolve unresolved relationships.
And so I focus on primarily on the relationship with my mother that I have. It's been very strained over the years because our personalities are so different. She's come to one of my stand-up comedy shows. She's never thought I was funny, like ever. It's like, she even told me when I was young, you're not funny. You think you're funny. You're not funny.
No.
And a lot of comedians will know what I'm talking about, because sometimes we go into comedy because we're going, like, well, I'll show you. And I always thought it was amazing that this huge laugh, thunderous laughs. I'm like, and my mom is sitting there just going, that's not funny.
Is it because maybe as I told you before the show, I saw the stand-up routine that you had done a few years ago at the House of Blues in Dallas.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if many people's mothers would want to be sitting through that show.
There is that. There is that. But she doesn't see me. She continues to not see me as that person. And maybe that's one of the things that's interesting about this show is that people who know me walk out going, this is a side of you I've never seen before, because we only see the Prada enchilada, or we only see you playing Oscar Wilde or Ellen DeGeneres on stage, and you're entertaining and fun. And very often, people who think they know me are surprised once they get to know me that I'm not like that in real life. So this show was an opportunity for me to just kind of be myself in a theatrical format. I've never done that before, so it's been very exciting.
So how did you resolve your relationship with your mother through this show?
Time and experience and loss, because there are different people that I focus on, and there's one person in particular who I wanted to resolve this relationship perhaps over time, but death prevented that. And then there's another person who there was some sort of resolution, but I decided not to respond because I didn't want to open up that portal, emotional portal, which meant I was protecting myself. You know, so there's different kinds of resolution, I think, in life, and we have to make those hard choices as people. And sometimes this is with family members, but I get this great bit of advice, which I thought was career advice, which I took as career advice over time from my Thea Carroll, that informed my idea of trying to build these bridges with people who I've had difficult relationships with through my life. And the backdrop has just been my show business career. So it's kind of like a normal human story. I've just had extraordinary experiences that, for all intents and purposes, it kind of stunts the growth of maturity sometimes. I refer to it in the show as talent privilege. If you're wealthy, you're going to have privilege. If you're super good looking, you're going to have privilege. And when we talk about white privilege all the time, but we don't really talk about talent privilege that often. And people who are talented sometimes get a free pass. And that does us no favors in the end, because it stops us from doing our part in relationships, if you will. And I speak very frankly about my own shortcomings and my mistakes. And I share my experience of trying to fix those.
Well, San Antonio, first of all, mm-hmm. is known as breakfast taco capital of the world. Don't tell Austin, right? So obviously.
I don't know why Austin thinks that.
I don't know. There was a battle. I think there was some resolution.
Yes.
Maybe you should include that in your next show.
Unresolved relationships with tacos. This is all about Austin.
but your show is called A Sign from the Taco God.
Yes.
So obviously you've got that nice little San Antonio reference to mm-hmm. tacos. But why did you call it that?
My sister and I agree that some of the most important moments of my life, her life, our life, happened in the kitchen at my grandmother's house while she was making tortillas, while she was rolling the dough and, you know, doing her thing, giving us advice, shaking her head when she was just being quiet. I'm not going to say anything. Anytime I have to make a decision, I think, in my life, I kind of emotionally go to that place, that Zen place, that peaceful place that to me, I remember as being a safe haven where I could figure things out. And my grandmother, who I'm still blessed to have her in my life, has always been that mentor where I can say, what do you think? And my grandmother wasn't conventionally educated. Like, she didn't go to college, and I don't think she did not finish high school. But the woman is so wise, and taco gods. It's kind of a little shout out because my sister and I were really into Greek mythology when we were younger. So that it was always a reference to Zeus or Hera or Apollo, any of those folks. But I say taco gods, and I mean instinct, following your gut, listening to your mentors, And when something happens, some people call it kismet, some people call it synchronicity. I call it the taco gods, a sign from the taco gods. So when something happens or something doesn't happen, I think about the submission sometimes we have to have with the universe. Sometimes things were not meant to happen. In Germany, we say eine Gelegenheit, an opportunity presents itself. Sometimes there's no way you can say no to that because it's a sign from the taco gods. I'm kind of thinking about that movie, Clash of the Titans.
Where, the Harry Hamlin one?
Yeah, the,
of course,
because that's all that matters and that's all I'm going to say. But sometimes metaphorically, the taco gods will present a sword and a shield. When you're down and out and you think you have no way out of a situation, or in my case, I'm on stage in the first 10 minutes and the audience is just not enjoying themselves, I can't leave. But sometimes the taco gods will provide a sword and a shield, an opportunity to get you to the next place that you need to go.
The deus ex machina, so to speak. That's the terminology of when you have a character who, in a Greek play, who mm-hmm. is hopeless,
yeah.
the gods bring something to save them. That's called the deus ex machina. They
That's
bring in sort
awesome.
Of this magical machine.
I don't
If they would have called it taco gods, it would have been like much easier to translate.
And not for nothing, I'm going back to your one of your original questions. I'm from San Antonio. I will never not be from San Antonio. And so every bit of my work is peppered with those references, that background history that I have.
So in your play, is there a specific, in your one-man show, is there a specific incident that is a sign from the taco gods?
There's two that come to mind, but the second one I will say is the music. My mom and dad had a very, very hard experience when they were young. My mom was like the homecoming queen, prettiest girl in school, and my dad was the star football player. And I make a joke when I'm the Prada enchilada being fabulous with my tuxedo and my boa and telling jokes. I describe them and I'm like, two of the most narcissistic people coming together, I'm the result. So when they were going through those hard times of reality and trying to coexist and get to know each other, and I hope they both find some kind of resolution in their own hearts about that time period. The music for me was a sign from the taco gods.
Specifically, which music?
The night the lights went out in Georgia. It was fun. It was exciting. That was the first song I remember going, I want to learn all of the lyrics to this, and I want to sing it when I'm sad. People really rely these days. You see it on social media. They're like, send me your playlist. I'm super depressed right now. And music is powerful. And even though I talk about, you know, my life and different chapters of my experience, it's really about the music that has always been there to get me out of tight spots.
As you said, you've been all over the world. You've
yeah.
been on television, on stage, etc. Why stay home base in San Antonio?
Because this is where I'm from. This is the mothership. Yeah, if I was like super duper famous, there could be this vanity side of me that said, I made San Antonio famous. But I love the idea that in a way, San Antonio has given me a career just by allowing this wonderful opportunity I've had to share my story that is nothing but San Antonio. I am San Antonio. Even when I went to New York, my voice and speech teachers would be like, oh, that Tex-Mex accent, we have to get rid of it. I'm like, I don't have a Tex-Mex accent. What are you talking about?
You know, and it's funny because I hear that a lot from people who are from San Antonio. It's like, even no matter how big they may get,
yeah,
this is always where they want to be. This is, even if they might not live here anymore, or even if like maybe they grew up on the West Side, they may not live there anymore, but they're connected to
Absolutely.
That area.
And that use of the word connected, that is what anyone, regardless, Latino or not, we all feel that. And I think that's rich. And I feel so blessed to be able to have the privilege of living in San Antonio and being able to do what I do and be supported. I mean, not every artist feels supported. I have never felt that. Every day I wake up where I'm rehearsing my show or someone sends me an email, where the heck is that script? I'm thinking, that's a great problem to have. And I'm super blessed, and I will always respect and be grateful for the opportunity to serve the community in this way.
We've been speaking with solo theater artist Jade Esteban Estrada. His most recent one-man show, A Sign from the Taco Gods, ran for 8 weeks at San Antonio's Overtime Theater. A San Antonio native, Estrada is also a choreographer, playwright, and glitter political columnist with San Antonio Current. And he performs stand-up as the Prada Enchilada. To hear more of our conversation, go to tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz, and our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.